Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. Going to talk some Nationals baseball here with Chelsea Janes from the Washington Post shortly. Mm-hmm. Nationals have closed to 3 games within 500 as they took 4 out of 6 on the road. James Wood having a fantastic year.
I feel,
you know,
so
some of their
good
pitchers,
so
young
good
pitchers,
about our over 70 and a half.
Love it.
Wish I would have put more money on it.
Some of their pitchers like Irvin and Parker are having good years too.
Yeah. Parker was struggling until his last start. He was struggling over his last 4 or 5 starts. He started off hot and then his ERA kind of ballooned, but he was pretty good yesterday. Yeah. But Jake Irvin, definitely.
Join us right now on the Rood Guest Hotline. Rood's, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, is Chelsea Janes, national MLB writer for the Washington Post. Hey, Chelsea.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Chelsea, baseball is crazy, but when I saw the Nats score 38 runs over a 4-game stretch, I actually couldn't believe it.
I know, and that's not a nothing pitching staff in Arizona either. It's just, it's one of those things, like the ebbs and flows are going to be there. I will say, I mean, I think they're better offensively this year, like significantly, so it's not crazy, but yeah, uh-huh. It's that those numbers in itself were crazy.
Yeah, I mean, 11, 9, 9, and 9? I mean, you just don't see that. I mean, all right, if the Dodgers did that, or, you know, if the Cubs or Detroit, all right, I could see it. But not the Nats. I definitely didn't expect that. And especially to score 10 in an inning.
Yeah, that was wild. They got some help there. But, I mean, you know, Abrams and Wood are the real deal, and Nate Lowe really helps. I think he's, you know, their lineup isn't bad. Like, they're better in that facet this year than they were last year, for sure.
So do you – all right, just talk about James Wood specifically. We all knew that he had the accolades and he had this reputation of being the young stud. The fact that he's putting up the numbers that he is, and we kind of talked about it earlier, if you compare his first 140 games or so to Bryce Harper's, in a lot of the categories, James Wood is better than Bryce Harper, in a lot of them. Now, it's not much better, but he's better, and Soto as well. Now, Soto came up a lot younger, but just talk about James Wood and how he's progressing as a hitter.
You know, I think he has been everything everyone told us he was, which is almost impossible to do. You know, it's like really hard to do what he's doing. The fact, the names that you're talking about, I think, signal that. You know, I think we're still kind of getting a feel for who he is, personality-wise, you know, what's going to happen when he struggles. But his pure talent is unbelievable. I mean, the way he hits the ball the opposite way, he's only going to get better at turning on stuff inside, only going to get better at figuring out, you know, what to do with two-strike pitches he doesn't like. You know, he's just really good, and he's so calm. You know, he's so not caught up in anything that's going on around him, almost to the point that people who don't know him think he doesn't care, you know, because he's so chill out there. But he does, and he gets it. And I think he seems to have the absolute right mentality, and just, you know, better than anyone could have hoped.
Chelsea, how do we keep Nats fans from going down the enjoy James Wood while he's here, because he's a Boris client, so he's not going to be here long term. How do we keep them away from that sort of negativity? I know it's so early in his career, but that sentiment, you can already kind of sense it.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot can change between now and then. You know, I still am not convinced the Lerners will own this team when that becomes an issue. You know, I don't expect him certainly to sign an extension or anything. That's just not the Boris way. But yeah, I still think a lot can change with ownership. A lot can change around him on this team. So that's sort of my answer to that. But I do think if you're in status quo at ownership and, you know, they're not spending any more than they did this year, then yeah, that's he's going to go. But I don't think that's a guarantee at all. You know, hometown kid, I think that matters. So I would just say a lot can change between now and then. And he does not seem to be someone who is ever going to be caught up in, you know, the number he can get. I think he's a different guy.
So Chelsea, last week we spent some time on this show talking about the big Ken Rosenthal article critiquing where the Nationals were, where they've been since they won a World Series. I'm wondering, when you talk to people around the league, do they feel the Nationals are closer to becoming a contender, or they're just stuck being one of these losing franchises?
I think a little of both. I think outside of people who think about the Nats all the time, people are generally very optimistic about the young guys they've gotten. You know, I think what you cannot ask for more than James Wood, Mackenzie Gore, you know, that whole return. It was incredible. I mean, CJ Abrams is going to be an all-star. Robert Hassel, I think, has a chance to be much better than people thought. So, you know, around the game, people look at that and they say, well, they got the talent. Like, the talent's there. They're ready to make a run. And then comes the next question, which is, but will they spend? Because I think what you've seen in Baltimore, too, is, like, you just have to put people around young guys to win. You know, Bryce, Juan Soto, they came up into ready-made rosters. They didn't have to carry this team. And so they could elevate it without, you know, collapsing under pressure. And I think the last thing the Nats want to do is not help James Wood and not help Dylan Cruz when he gets back. And you got to put people around them to, you know, make this window count. And we just don't know. And no one in the game knows what ownership's going to do with anything. Right now, you know, there's no reason to believe they're going to splurge this offseason. But, you know, if they did, then, you know, they're close.
It seemed like Cruz was maybe turning a corner, right? Certainly doing some things well. I don't know. Did you before the injury? Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't worry about him at all. I understand why people do, but yeah. You know, he's not James Wood. He's not Bryce. He's a different kind of player. You know, the name that everyone gives me is like Brandon Nimmo, and if that's Dylan Cruz's ceiling, then number one, I think that kind of, first of all, that's a really good player. That's a good return for a second overall pick. It's not great, but it's good. And it might kind of help people be more patient, right? Like, it's, he's not going to be like a 40 homer guy. He's going to be a really solid player who plays with his hair on fire. So, you know, he's also just got the right mindset. I think he'll be that guy sooner than later. He's going to be the heart and soul, you know, emotionally of this group. So I just don't worry about him at all. It might take a little bit. He's under a ton of pressure. I know he knows what everyone else around him in the draft class is doing at all times, but I think he'll be fine.
So do you think when Cruz comes off the IL, they'll send Hassel back down, or do you think they'll send Lyle back down?
I think Lyle. I think Hassel is playing really well. I haven't talked to anyone about this.
Right.
I personally have always kind of thought he was the sleeper in that class. He's just kind of, you know, he's kind of a punk, like in a good way, you know, like there's no moment that he's going to be in where he's going to be like, that guy's better than me. And I think he's played that way early on. So, you know, I think his at bat's been really good. I think Lyle's been great, but he's not quite there yet. So, you know, I think Hassel might be playing his way into some regular playing time. And if he is, I think that's a really good thing for them.
So now the Cubs come to town for three, best record, or maybe tied for best record in baseball. And they've coupled, you talk about, you know, coupling the young players with some veterans. I mean, Crow Armstrong's a really good player, only in his second year. But they go out and trade for Kyle Tucker. They've got good pitchers, obviously a really good manager who's been there before. So this is kind of a test for the Cubs to come in, and they can pound the ball.
Yeah, I think this is a you know, it's kind of crazy to say, but I think this is a pivot point for the season. You know, the Nats played their way back into it. I mean, they have a better record or the same record, I think, as like the Braves, Red Sox, Diamondbacks. I mean, they're there with teams that are supposed to win. So, you know, they're not out of it yet. And a big week here could, you know, this week could either kind of bury them a little bit because the Rangers come after the Cubs. The Rangers can really pitch. Or it could show them something. You know, I don't mean to be kind of too optimistic, but they've played really well against good teams. It's the clunkers that they've struggled with. There was that road trip where they just couldn't put it together against like Miami and Pittsburgh and Colorado. And if they had had a good trip then, I mean, they might be over 500 now. So I think it's a big test. I think it'll tell us a lot about them. And if they come out of this sort of intact and you know, I think they'll make the next month at least pretty interesting.
Charles, real quick before we let you go, I can't believe that there's a Major League Baseball team that is 9-50 I understand that certain owners won't spend. Okay, but we've seen that for years, and we've never seen 9-50.
Yes,
and I know they got rid of Bud Black. I can't imagine it was any of his fault because they don't have any talent. So I got to put that on the GM and the scouting departments, whatever, and ownership because they're not spending money either. But 9-50, it's the worst record through 59 games of any team in the modern era for the last, I don't know, 125 years. I mean, it's crazy that we're seeing that.
It's wild. And the thing is, like, they do spend. You know, they're not like, I mean, they don't spend enough, but they're not like one of the crazy Pittsburghs or anything.
Right.
They're just, from what I understand, deeply backwards, deeply stubborn. You know, the Stone Ages when it comes to data. And I think also in the Stone Ages when it comes to, like, player acquisition, from what I understand. So they're just not evaluating well. And I think this is what happens when you kind of ignore the revolution and think you can do it your way, and it's clear that does not work.
I can't believe there's even 10 fans in Coors.
I mean, the Rockies, they're spending more than the Nats.
They are.
The Nats have way better results.
Right.
Well, I know Mike Rizzo's a lot better at his job than Bill Schmidt or whatever the guy's name is out there. All right, Chelsea.
Yeah, it's a grass is greener thing for sure.
All right, well, enjoy your week. Enjoy the Cubs, Nats. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Chelsea. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I think the Rockies being terrible is one of Jason's top five stories in the world of sports. He loves talking about the Rockies.
Well, I can't believe that they literally can't. They've had 4 8-game losing streaks.
Are they on a historic pace?
Yeah, they've already set records.
I mean, it's a jarring number.
What's the number for fewest?
Fewest?
50-some like wins?
No, way less than
oh,
that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 34, 30.
Oh, my God.
Now, this was before the 162-game schedule, so this was the 154-game schedule, but I think 34 was the record for fewest wins.
Okay.
But they're on pace to blow that away with 8 more games.
Mm.
So I just can't believe a major league team just, they can't find a way to win a couple here and there, 2, 3 out of 4. They got no shot.
They stink.
They do stink.
Relegate them.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Well, that took a crazy turn because I was wondering where the hell we was going with this. You keep me on my toes, Landfill. B. Mitch and Finley right here on The Fan. Linnell Willingham sitting in for the fellas. They're back with you tomorrow, live out of the Purple Heart Open. Number to call us, 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet at me as well, same handle on all social media platforms. It is at NELL_BTP. A lot to get to. Still continuing to take your calls on who's going to be viewed more favorably. Who's going to be the bigger star in their sport over the next 5 years? Jaden Daniels, the quarterback of the Washington Commanders, or James Wood, the 22-year-old rookie phenom for the Washington Nationals. 1-800-636-1067. I mentioned going to break. We had a little bit of news to break for you. I could really care less because I hate and despise everything about this organization. Saquon Barkley, going to be the Madden cover guy for 2026. And I said something based off of that that sparked some interesting discussion in the chat. Make sure you check us out on the old YouTube live stream at 106.7 The Fan. We're also on the X app as well. And maybe I'm speaking for myself, but based on some of the comments in the chat, you all may agree. It's very clear that the Philadelphia Eagles are the biggest rivalry right now with the Washington Commanders, the biggest rival of the Washington Commanders. And I've long felt that way for, and it's just me personally. This is a personal thing for me, because of what I have going on in my life. Like I say, my best friend is a diehard Eagles fan. I've had to watch numerous games with him and his father in the bird's nest, as we like to call it. But, yeah, I don't like the Eagles because of that. I was raised, and this is why you all should give me credit. Y'all got a lot of nasty, rude, mean things to say to me. That's what happens when you're elite. I get it. But there should be some kudos thrown my way. Do you realize I was raised in a damn Dallas Cowboys household? Do you understand what I'm saying? You know how sick it is as a 27-year-old to be raised in a Cowboys household, trying to be persuaded every which way, all that dirty, nasty, blue, navy blue star merchandise being thrown at me? And I was able to stay 10 toes down, man. And I stood through it. I wore it for years, watching the Commanders, then Redskins, just suck. I wore it. So, yes, I get to have an opinion on who our biggest rival is because I think I'm one of the most diehard loyal fans that exists. A lot of you all out there are fair weather. You couldn't root for the team because of Daniel Snyder. Kiss my ass. Now I'm fired up about it. 1-800-636-1067. I actually do want to take calls on that because I feel like maybe that is a polarizing hot button topic here locally. And I'm going to say something now that is going to really irk a lot of people. You go look back at the season history, the season series between Dallas and Washington over the course of the 2000s. They have whipped our ass for the most part. Let's be real about it. I'm going to tell her how a T.I. is. They have owned us. We have been the little brother of the Dallas Cowboys throughout the 2000s in terms of the head-to-head matchup. So if you want to call that a rivalry, sure. I just think there have been bigger, more impactful games between Washington and Philly. We've seen them play for the division title several different times throughout the 2000s, a couple different times. We've seen them play, you know, in big primetime spots. So I just look at Philadelphia as the big rival. Maybe it's recency bias. I get it. 1-800-636-1067. Your calls on the biggest rivalry right now, the biggest rival right now for the Washington Commanders, and James Wood versus Jaden Daniels. Who is the bigger star in their sport 5 years from now? 1-800-636-1067. Deacon is in D.C. Jaden Daniels has chutzpah.
Yeah, baby. Real simple. The reason why Daniels has chutzpah over Woods right now, he shattered records last year. See, my man Woods is just coming up to the plate. He's just coming up to the table. He's shining. He's a diamond. But that guy, Jaden Daniels, man, he's shattering stuff, and he's taking us to another level, even in the game. Now, as far as our biggest rival, the Eagles will always be one of our rivals, but our biggest rival is those cowgirls, those Gerard boys. You know, we play ball hard, even when we lose, but we never quit. And that's why I'm still a Redskins/Commanders fan. But see, I need you to take this to the bank and all of Radio Land, listen to this.
Okay.
Jaden Daniels did not shatter any Redskin records.
Oh, my Lord.
He shattered. He made records as a Commander. And this is the legacy. This is what he's building right now. A legacy as a Commander, dude.
So you're trying to say that Jaden Daniels in his rookie season and last year should not be a part of quote-unquote Redskins history? Come on, you my man. You tap in with me all the time.
The son is always part of the father's family, but the son has come. He's grown. He's growing up, and he's setting his own mark now. Okay. He's setting his own mark.
I'll let you have that one, Deacon. 1-800-636-1067. That's probably, and this may tick a lot of people off too. I could care less. This annoys me about that sector of the fan base that acts like the history should be different between the Redskins and the Commanders. It's all one and the same. Like, we can't cry over spilled milk here. Didn't the post poll last week kind of put to bed all of the silly, nonsensical commentary around the name Redskins and Commanders and the popularity of all that? It is what it is. There's no going back. There is no tomorrow for the Redskins name. We are the Commanders, as Doug Williams said. So, I don't know. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go out to Fabian in Fairfax. What's chiming? What's going on, Fabian?
Yeah, how's it going?
Good, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. But I just want to say, I think, honestly, it's got to be Jaden. I mean, growing up, just watching the Nationals, you know, with contract stuff and all that jazz. I mean, you know, going into James Woods when he is in, you know, contract trouble, there's not that much, like, certainty going into it. I know that Jaden's a rookie. He's got that rookie contract. I just think that the people feel more comfortable with the fact that Jaden is going to be a Commander for the rest of his career, which I think we all agree on. James Wood, though, with the owners, you got to look at that, too. So,
yeah, I agree. Yeah, I appreciate the call, as always, man. 1-800-636-1067. The other thing I keep going back to, it's really a byproduct of the popularity of the two sports. Now, I get this town in terms of baseball fanatics, right? Was at a fever pitch in 19 when they won the World Series. I get it. It was the climax of Washington Nationals fandom, right? But obviously, we know that's tailed off here a little bit, and they haven't made the postseason since winning the World Series in 2019. I always bake in this excuse for the Nats, and I wonder if other people out there feel the same way. I just wonder how much different life is for the Washington Nationals, or where this thing stands, if they were able to capitalize off of the ticket gate of a World Series team, off of the spike in popularity and merchandise sales. I had this conversation with Britt Giroli of The Athletic, and she kind of gave me the truth of it all. And I think I was talking with Danny Rue last week, and he had the exact same thought. Wouldn't really have impacted anything. I know people keep talking about, you know, Washington and the Nationals and their inability to retain talent, and there's a big fear and concern as to whether or not James Wood will be locked down long-term. The Juan Soto thing, if you're looking at that as like a precursor, as a prognostication for whether or not Wood gets signed or not, Juan Soto, you see based off of the money that he's garnered out there, the Nationals were never, ever going to pay him that money. And I think Mike Rizzo and company deserve a whole lot of credit for flipping Juan the way that they did. In terms of like major stars being shipped away from their homegrown club, the team that drafted them, Rizzo's return, I'd stack it up with any return that anyone's ever got. When you think about Abrams, Hassel, Gore, I don't know, man, it's tough.
I missed out on a lot of fun Nat stuff this past week.
We had some fun.
The Ken Rosenthal piece that came out, it was oddly timed. Mm-hmm. Nothing he said was wrong, but it felt like it should have been published 1 year ago or 2 years ago. It's like, hey, while the Nats are hot and playing over 500 baseball for a 3-month stretch.
You have to include the sentence at the time. Now, they have won 7 of 9. But anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
But 7 of 9 is such a fleeting sample and like right. a nothing burger.
Yeah, yeah.
But the point is, each year over the last couple of years, like they're getting closer and closer. And if you take the first week of this season out, they're literally an over 500 baseball team this season right now. And if they spent any real money at all on anything that mattered, a bat, a starting pitcher, a reliever, they'd be the wild card team in the National League right now. They would be in the wild card at this moment if they had just a little bit of money to spend on good baseball players. They don't, and so they're just piecemealing this thing together with kids and trades. And the result is they're going to win probably 77, 78 games or whatever. They'll be short of the postseason, but they're scratching and they're clawing, and they're fun watch right
now.
Yes,
they are.
I mean, how do you not enjoy the last couple of weeks in Nats baseball, where James Wood is a superstar, the likes of which we have only really had in the form of, you know, Bryce and Soto and Strasburg along the way. He's on his way to MVP caliber, top player in the league status when it's all said and done. And then the kids are okay. Robert Hassel looks like a big leaguer. Dalen Lyle looks like a major leaguer. In the bullpen, they've been able to cut all three of the crappy minimal deal veterans that they brought in here. Who could have thought that Lucas Sims and Colin Poche and Jorge Lopez wouldn't have been a great triumvirate for you? So now you've got homegrown arms and Brad Lord, Jackson Rutledge, Cole Henry, who are answering the bell in the bullpen. It's been entertaining the last couple of weeks. I'm fired up.
It's been a lot of fun. So Saturday we're at a going away party for some really good friends of ours actually that are moving away. And you know, it's Saturday and it's so we're hanging out, but it's still, you got kids involved. There's a kids' party, so everybody's home. But by the time I get everyone home and get, you know, my 7-year-old in the bath and get them ready for bed, I sit down to watch the Nats game and they're already up 10-0. Like, what is going on? Like,
first
what
time
is happening?
In 77 years that a team has scored that many runs before an out was recorded. I saw a great line. Instead of a no-hitter, an all-hitter, Brandon Pfaadt threw the first all-hitter in baseball.
That's a great bet.
They were ripping him. Double, double, yeah. Double, homer, double, walk, double, hit by pitch, hit but by pitch, double.
Even if a team has a tell on somebody and knows what's coming,
right.
That wouldn't happen.
If you're banging trash cans and you're wearing things where you touch a button on your chest, you still can't do that.
Like, that's impossible. Like, you couldn't do that in BP. You know what I mean? Like, I can't remember seeing anything like it, and I didn't have that data point that it's been, I don't know, 50 years since that happened, but there we are.
11 straight batters reached on Saturday night, man.
Those are one of those innings, by the way, where all you can think about is, like, don't be the guy that makes 2 outs. Don't be the guy that ruins this merry-go-round.
So I do this bit on Twitter about James Wood and people sleeping on him.
Yep.
That simultaneously, I think there's a lot of people that have really started to enjoy it because I'm adding layers to it. And then there's people that just hate it.
Yeah.
Like, they just can't figure it out. And that's fine. It's not for them. They don't need to.
Right.
They're allowed to be very angry. They're like, I know who he is. But this week, finally, was the first time I feel like he started to get the national and local attention that he deserves, where it clicked with people. They're like doing the Leo meme, like pointing, you know, like, is anybody noticing what this guy's doing in DC? MLB Network's doing segments. Now we're having conversations. Where does he rank among players in a draft to start an organization with? I mean, he just had a May that over the last dozen years, only some of the greatest players in the sport have had. 7 home runs, 6 stolen bases. It's Trout, Betts, Tatis, Acuna, Otani, James Wood. People know he's good. That's nice. We're talking about, Danny, when this thing's all said and done, a guy that could turn into the greatest Nationals hitter ever. You know, we're talking about annual 40 home run ability. Maybe it's 50 home runs in a season when it's all said and done, possibly. And if they're good, which it's going to be hard not to because he's going to drag him right into that fight, you know, maybe wins an MVP award or two, which previously, you know, only Bryce Harper's done around these parts, right? They did it. they got one of them once, as the kids say.
Well, we talked about this a little bit last week while you were out. He's got a 912 OPS, hitting 282, five bombs against lefties. You know what I mean? Like, remember that was a thing? He needed more time to hit lefties in the minor leagues. Why it didn't come up?
Which wasn't real, right? Because he was crushing lefties in the minor leagues while they were saying that. Yeah. But they needed a reason to not call him up.
And that was the given reason. But again, that's exceptional. It's exceptional for anybody. It's exceptional for 7-year big league veteran who's a frontline player. Where you're the guy they bring in people to stop. And that's happening. And this was right after he, you know, just flipped up a double down the left field line against the Mariners left-handed specialist that came in just to get him out, who was unsuccessful because James Wood's incredible.
Did you see the graphics this weekend all over the place? But Masson ran one of them. There's a bunch of different versions of it where it's him side by side with Soto and Harper at this point of their career as Nationals. First 135 games, I think it was. And Soto had hit about 280, Harper had hit 275, Wood had hit 275. All three of them had within one or two home runs of another. Wood had 25, Soto had 26, Bryce had 24. RBI count, Wood was at 85, Soto was at 87, Harper was barely over 60. And then in terms of OPS, Harper was 830, Wood was 860, and Soto was a little over 900. So of the numbers that you see, Soto was the best of the three, narrowly, then Wood, and then a sizable gap, and then Harper would go on within a couple years to win an MVP award. Mm-hmm. But the reason I bring it up is to say Bryce Harper and Juan Soto got called up at a time where the Nationals were a playoff team, one of the better teams in the NL, maybe the best team in the NL in both of those cases, and had this star-studded lineup of legit quality bats. You know, guys along the way, like whether it was Daniel Murphy or Anthony Rendon or Ryan Zimmerman going 30-100 or, you know, whatever it was in those given moments, James Wood, from the day he's gotten to the big leagues, has basically been the best hitter on the Nationals. Like, there's no support, so to speak. There's no good team where there's a good offense and you're just going to fit in nicely. Like, you are the guy that they're having the meetings about. You're the one. No one else on the team has been intentionally walked this year. He has multiple times. And so it's way harder for him to play on a bad team with a not good lineup than Soto and Harper, who were thrust into a really good team with a pretty good lineup. And yet, his numbers stack up basically the same as Soto's and much better than Bryce's so far. It's just astounding.
Yeah, if you remember that year, the one of the great offensive seasons we have ever seen, not just here but anywhere, that Bryce Harper won the MVP with a WAR of almost 10, where he hit 330 with 42 bombs, 460 on base percentage, a 1.1 ops, like as good as anybody in the sport.
He hit 330 with 330. 40 homers. That is insane.
The year that nobody else in their regular everyday lineup hit 20 homers. In a year that nobody else basically did any kind of damage offensively at all. This was an injury-plagued season for Zimmerman. This was Danny Espinosa's your everyday guy at second base. Ian Desmond had one of those down, terrible years as he was approaching a contract, trying to, you know, probably hit bombs to get himself paid. Their next best hitter was Yunil Escobar, you know, just kind of slapping Judy everywhere. I think he had 9 homers on the season. Did nobody protect him, and he did that. That's kind of what this has been like most of the way. C.J. Abrams has been pretty damn good, an all-star caliber first half, but in front of him, behind him, with all due respect to Nathaniel Lowe, I'll take my chances with Nathaniel Lowe over James Wood, and that's kind of what made that year that much more remarkable. We're watching that on a nightly basis.
Well, but he's had, I mean, it's guys like Chaparro and Ruiz and Meneses. I mean, these are the types of guys that have been batting around or behind him in the order. It's nuts what we're seeing, what we're doing. He's 22 years old, man. Yeah. He's 22. Was a high school player at St. John's College High in D.C. a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he is already one of the better players, one of the more feared hitters in the National League, which is awesome.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Joining us right now, as he does every Wednesday at this time on the Rood Guest Hotline, Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, is Mike Rizzo. He's the president and GM of the Washington Nationals. Presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Coming off the six-game road trip, you guys won four of those. Pretty good road trip for you, Mike.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, it was pretty successful. We swung the bats really well and hope to bring some of that momentum home and have a nice homestand for us.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of talk about that run over that four-game stretch, almost 40 runs in four games. Kind of crazy. Scored 10 runs in one inning. What were you noticing in that four-game stretch?
Just noticing how it goes. It's just such a momentum thing when, a few guys that get it going and then you move the line and guys are getting good pitches to hit. We stayed in the zone much better. Our chase rate was way down. We got some good pitches to hit and hit them hard. And, when you start doing that and like I said, you get some momentum offensively, it seems that, all the hard balls go through, all the bloopers, drop in and, it's a fun series. So, I always say hitting is contagious and it's cyclical and it's, when you're hot, you have to score some runs. And when you're not, you have to scratch for runs. So, that was kind of the road trip that we had. It was a good offensive road trip, and pitchers kept us in games, and the bullpen was solid. We played pretty good defense, and, we ended up beating two pretty good teams, taking two series.
Mike, I'm going to ask you a personal question. In your line of business,
right,
when's the last time you took a summer vacation? Because you definitely can't take one this summer because you're in a busy stretch now. The draft is in mid-July.
You can never do one, right?
I'm like, when's the last time you took a summer vacation in your life, Mike Rizzo? We love summer vacations.
Never.
We thrive
never.
On them.
Never.
Never?
Never one time. Even when we were kids, we were always playing Little League and baseball. So, we never took a summer vacation.
Yeah, fall
not
vacation.
Many vacations. Not many vacations in this job, for sure.
So you've never been to a beach in the summer.
Well, I've been to beaches, but you can't go away for any extended period of time. And we've never gone to Italy for 2-3 weeks in the summer or anything like that. It's the nature of this beast is you've got a we've got a game every day. It separates. I've said it a million times. Baseball is separated because you play 162 games in 185 days, and it's a physical, mental, and emotional grind, and it's what makes this sport so unique.
I think I'm taking three vacations in like the next 8 weeks. I'm the anti-Mike Rizzo. Yeah.
Now he goes away in the winter.
I understand.
Yeah. And he gets his winter meetings.
Yeah, I'll be here when you guys are on vacation, okay. So don't worry. Right. I'll hold the fort down for you.
We need that. Yes.
But do you have an exotic locale, though, that you do like to get out to whenever you do get out?
You know, I travel a lot. You know what I mean? So right. so a vacation for me is, I don't want to, you know, I've been to Europe a couple of times, you know, my vacation, I've been all over the world. Wherever they play baseball, I've been to, but right. I haven't been to Europe much. I've been to Italy one time in my life. So, you know, that was probably the coolest thing that I've ever done is that Italy trip.
You don't strike me as a guy that wants to just, like, put on his fancy bathing suit and a chair and crack a beer and just hang out at the beach for a week.
Oh, I bet he likes that from time to time.
From time to time, I don't mind that, but yeah, I can't do it for a day. You know, it's you know, that might be on one afternoon agenda where you know you could take a nap by the pool for a couple hours, but no, I can't do it for a week.
You can't go through,
sit on the chair.
You can't do two bottles of Jack that week and just, you know. All right, just watch.
That's your vacation.
I mean, he's probably always thinking about baseball. Always thinking about the team.
Has to be.
I get it.
Hey.
Well, yeah. The you know, the calendar, baseball calendar is 12 months, 24/7, man.
That's, right. Hey, talk about Mike. Talk about Hassel that you guys called up because, and we'll get to Dylan Cruz here in a second, but talk about Hassel who you called up when Cruz went to the IL. And in that four-game stretch when you scored 38 runs, he went 8 for 20. Hmm. I mean, he was just on a heater in that four-game stretch.
He gets to stick around, right?
Yeah, talk about Hassel. And then is he going to stay when Cruz comes back?
Well, he's a great player. I mean, he was an important part of the Soto trade, and you know, we really coveted him. We like him a lot, and you know, we think he's a five-tool kind of player. You know, he's a good defender. He runs really well. He throws well. He's got bat-the-ball skills. He's going to come into his power. He showed it at the AAA level, you know, right before we brought him up. So, you know, he's a good player. He can really play defense in center field, really run the bases, and he's a good hitter. This guy was his top, you know, he was, you know, if you believe the top prospect thing, you know, he was coveted by, you know, all the national writers and magazines as one of the best prospects in the game. The problem with him is he got hurt 2 years in a row, you know, and the injuries that he sustained are very, very difficult injuries to play baseball with. You know, when he had the hamate surgery, which is the hamate, the hook on the let's call it by the wrist or the thumb area where he had to get it removed, and then he tore some ligaments in the thumb and jammed the thumb. So he's had these hand and wrist injuries for it kind of set him back almost a year and a half, 2 years for his progression. So this guy was is a really good player. He's going to be a big part of our future. And you know, what we're going to do with him when all these outfielders come back. You know, we're going to figure it out because it usually figures itself out. Mm-hmm. But if our greatest worry is we have so many great players that we don't have enough spots for them, I can live with that.
Right.
All right. So you want to talk about Dylan and his recovery? His last game, I believe, was May 20th.
Yeah. You know, that's you know, the oblique thing is, you know, that's a painstaking, difficult rehab to get through. You know, it's typically 4 to 6 weeks. So we don't see anything out of the ordinary with Dylan's injury. You know, it was. You know, it was on a swing. It was, it was an oblique, and you know, we kind of know how to treat it, and it just takes time to heal, and that's the issue with that. Otherwise, if you rush it too quickly, you know, you re-injure it, and you could tear stuff and make it worse.
Right.
So, he's on pace to be ready when he's ready, and when he's prepared, you know, he's going to be in the big leagues, and we're going to, we're going to figure out what we're going to do with the outfield.
What about your guy Brady House? Grant, I didn't quite realize this, that, you know, with his bomb yesterday, he's now like on a 32 homer pace at AAA. Is the timeline accelerating with him? Is that somebody that we could look forward to seeing, you know, maybe later this season? What's the deal?
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing him for sure. So, I mean, you know, he's a really good player. You know, let's not forget, you know, he's younger than about 80% of the players that will be drafted in this year's draft still.
Wow.
So, you know, he's a very young player.
How old is he?
You know, 21.
Okay.
Yeah, he's 21 in AAA, and he's, He's a very young player. I think he'll be 22 in another month or so. So he's in the right spot for his development where we want him to be. He's improved. His walk rate has come up a little bit, which was a point of emphasis. His strikeout rate has come down a tick, which is, you know, kind of what we've been wanting him to do. And he's getting more experience at third base since, you know, after we drafted him, we moved him to third a couple of years ago. He's doing everything he needs to do to get to the big leagues. And barring injury, he's going to get to the big leagues and be a great player for us, and a big part of what we're trying to achieve here.
Hey, I wanted to get your take on a play last night in the Cub game. I believe it was the fourth inning. The Cubs had come back and they tied it at three, but there was a ground ball. So Crow Armstrong was on third. I believe nobody out. Carson Kelly hits a ground ball to Tania at third. And Armstrong looked like he had a big enough lead where he was possibly going to go on the throw. And he took a step towards home plate. And then so Tania thought, okay, well, I can get him and I can try and tag him out. But he didn't get him because Armstrong dove back in the third and he didn't make the throw to first. What was your take on that play?
Yeah, it was, you know, it was a play that was contingent on, you know, not a lot of experience at third base. Mm-hmm. You've got a speedster runner on third base. You know, the play there is to look him back to third and you throw to first. And then, if he runs, the first baseman throws home. And because you looked him back, you should get him at home. But he runs so good and he's so fast. Obviously, it's in our advanced report. You got to watch out for this guy. He can really run. So I think he was overcompensating. He was overcautious. What has to happen there is you get the runner to take a step back to third. You throw a good firm throw to first base,
right?
And then you deal with if he's going to try and score. You throw him out at the plate but you got to get him out there.
That's the key thing.
And I think lack of experience and then the knowledge of how fast this runner is. Speed causes havoc with defenses, and that was a prime case of it right there.
I was thinking if he just takes a couple steps towards Crow Armstrong, like runs towards him, because it was a hard hit ball. So I think he's going to get. It's not like Kelly's a fast runner. If he takes a couple steps towards Crow Armstrong, Armstrong's definitely going to get back to third, and then he can make the throw and get the out of first.
Yeah, I think that would have been that was the thing to do, right?
It's,
yeah. He took a jab step at him,
yeah.
And Armstrong went back a little bit, but then he was worried that he's still going to score. So, you're right. The Kelly's a catcher; he doesn't run great. You know, you throw him out at first base, and then you take your chances at home plate.
Mike, I always like asking you sort of like historical kind of questions, like putting your career. You've had such a big career in perspective. I have asked you before. I think like maybe your greatest find or your greatest draft pick. I think you said Robbie Ray, maybe, right? Did you draft him really late and he just developed? Was that the guy that you said at one point? Maybe.
He was one of our good late draft picks.
Right.
He was one of Cy Young or so, and I think we got him in the 10th or 11th round or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So what is, first of all, when you made that Soto trade and now it's really coming to fruition for you guys with all these guys on the come and, you know, going to be on the roster, it looks like, for a long, long time. At that time, was that the biggest trade of your professional career?
I think so, for sure. I mean, it was the most, the most important, I think. I mean, it was the most, you know, there's different degrees of trade, and you know when you're at the trade deadline, you're flipping players, and some are more valuable as trade assets than others, and that type of thing. But you know, the world was watching the Soto trade, and I think that those trades are so difficult. I think that we get good reviews because when you trade players like that, it's hard to get enough value back because. You know, you're trading such a great player away, and oftentimes you get quantity, but maybe not the quality that the player that you're trading away deserves. So, I think that certainly was probably the most the most visual trade that we ever made. It was the most talked about, and, you know, leading up to it, since then. So I'm tired of talking about it. But,
I'm sorry. Yeah. But what is it?
It was a long time. It was a long time ago, and reporters still want to talk about what.
Well, you know why?
I said, yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
Right,
I know. Listen, it probably got to be painful to trade a guy like Juan Soto, but it's something you had to do, and you did it, and now these guys are coming to fruition. I think that's why, because now these young players are coming through. But what was your greatest trade, without saying like you hoodwinked the other person, but like it was just a great trade for you? Was it actually that one, or is it something
what about
else?
What about Trey Turner?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Trey Turner was an impactful trade for us. It was another drafted and developed player from us, in a player named Steven Souza, who we drafted out of high school. We developed. He became the trip. You know, he was the minor league player of the year that year, there was a demand for him, and we had focused in on Trey Turner, and don't forget we got Joe Ross in that same trade, and we had to use some strategy to allow us by rule to trade for Trey Turner, because he was drafted, wasn't a calendar year past his draft date, his signing date. So, they created a new rule because of that trade.
Mm. All right, Mike, appreciate the time, buddy. Safe drive into Nats Park, and let's get Mackenzie Gore a win tonight.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
All right, thank you, buddy.
It's Mike Rizzo, President GM of the Nationals, presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information.
Speaking of good quality sports activity, last night's Nats game was awesome. That's big boy baseball.
Yeah, that's grown-up stuff.
That's the kind of game and the kind of win that we've gone years around here without getting to watch. One of the best teams in the league is in town to face a Nats team that has now won 11 of their last 16, that has played over 500 baseball since the first week of the season. They've essentially played at a wild card pace since their 1-6 start. And last night, they got shoved on by Matthew Boyd. Really good pitcher with an ERA in the twos from the Chicago Cubs, who took a perfect game into the sixth inning. They break up the perfect game with a walk. Batter later, they break up the no-hitter. An inning later, they break up the shutout in the seventh. And despite going toe-to-toe with the guy that looked like he was going to pitch a no-hitter for an hour and a half, Mackenzie Gore dominated one of the best lineups in baseball. The Cubs are top five in every category. Second in team batting average, not in the NL, but in the big leagues. You look at runs, hits, home runs, steals, OPS, slug, top five in everything. Gore went out last night, lowered his season ERA to 2.87, threw seven shutout innings and punched out seven, and he gave up three hits. And you wouldn't know this if you just looked at the box score, but the three hits were on the first three at-bats of the game.
Couple of duck snorts and one legit single in there, right? I mean, the first two batters, this is baseball for you. You won. You got what you wanted. You get weak contact off the top of the bat. You get a broken bat. That means, as the pitcher, you have triumphed right there. But this is why the sport's stupid sometimes. You can line drive a ball. It's hit so hard it grows lips and screams right at somebody. You can hit a little pop-up that falls between three people as they look at each other and get a base hit. This is one of those things where it wasn't fair. It didn't equalize. So instead of going down a spiral, going, woe is me, hard luck, watch me bowl my neck. Watch me do something that only, what's that card? It's sometimes can be high, sometimes can be low. It's not a two, but sometimes it's lower than a two, sometimes it's above a king. What's that one? You want that?
You're looking for an ace?
That's an ace. That's what an ace does, is what he did in that first inning last night. That was unbelievable.
Well, it's what he did over seven innings last night. He looked like a number one starter against a special offense for the Chicago Cubs. And the Nats end up getting a 2-0 shutout win. They four-hit Chicago, thanks largely to seven spectacular innings from Gore. How can you tell me he's not an all-star right now, by the way, with a 2.8 earned run average and the major league leading strikeout total? Nobody has fanned more batters than him this season. One of the centerpieces of the Juan Soto deal coming over from San Diego, which was one of the great returns ever. You can make the case right now. This won't happen. But you can make the case at this moment that three players from the Soto deal in the big leagues for the Nats right now should be all-stars in Atlanta this year. James Wood is a lock to be an all-star. He will be there because he's one of the best players in the sport. Check. Mackenzie Gore, leading the major leagues in strikeouts with now a 2.87 ERA, has been one of the better starting pitchers in the National League, deserving of all-star consideration and good enough to pitch in Atlanta in that game. And then finally, C.J. Abrams. Now, he's hurting his chances over the last several weeks because over the last 3 weeks and a couple of days, he has really, really scuffled. He was hitting .312 when this funk began, and now his average has fallen way into the mid-200s. But his OPS is still second among shortstops in the league. He's still got some of the better numbers at his position in baseball and is, based on the full sample of the first half, has all-star caliber numbers. Now, the Nats won't get three all-stars because they're a sub-500 team and they're not really a contender. You don't get three all-stars if you're that quality of club. But if we're just talking about deserving, which is different than will guys actually be there, James Wood, Mackenzie Gore, C.J. Abrams, all from the Soto deal, can you imagine? How cool would that have been?
Pretty cool. Pretty
symbolic.
But Gore
just keeps getting better.
Yeah.
His ERA by season, 22, 4.5, 23, 4.4, 24, 3.9 last year, and right now, 2.87, another run down.
If you're tracking the trends, those, yeah, as you said, the numbers keep tumbling down. Now, 13 starts doesn't a full season make, and you know we'll see as you go on the league the second and third time, and you know you keep adjusting, and some of those bad luck innings happen, or you know you get some good fortune, whatever. I'd love to see where the numbers are at the end of the year. We're fortunate enough that that's going to happen for us, but it's hard not to look at that progress and go, that was unbelievable last night against again a great litmus test, one of the best offenses in the sport. Now I know they didn't have Kyle Tucker; he pinch hit late in the game against Kyle Finnegan. But watching him wiggle out of some of those things against, you know, guys that put the ball in play, it's a deep lineup. It's a tough to navigate lineup because not only can guys knock it out of the yard on you, but there are a couple that just don't strike out, period. So when a non-strikeout kills you, any ground ball to an infielder would have scored a run in a couple of those circumstances. That doesn't even happen. That's incredible. He was so good last night. And it's not just you beat the Rockies, you beat the Pirates on a getaway day. Like, you know what I mean? That was big boy stuff.
He also just couldn't have done this the last couple of years. You kind of alluded to this, but he came on our show a year ago, I think it was, early in the season. And he talked about if he was able to avoid big innings, how much different things would look. Because he's always been one of those guys who goes 4 or 5 weeks with an ERA right around 3. But then he'd have the one really bad game that where he'd give up 6 or 7 runs. And so his ERA would be like 4.5 or whatever. And he's like, he called them touchdown innings, which I thought was funny, where you give up 6 or 7. He's like, if I could just not have two of those a season, if I could get rid of that game where it spirals and gets out of control on me, yeah, I think I would be in a different position altogether as a starter. And last night with the bases loaded, nobody out a year or two ago, that game gets off the rails right away against right. That kind of lineup.
Mm-hmm.
You got Pete Crow Armstrong coming up, who's been one of the best hitters in the league, an MVP candidate mm-hmm. with the bases loaded, nobody out. And that's where he buckled down, strikeout, pop out, got out of the jam. But I was watching him after the bases got loaded, Danny, and he just took this really, I'm 7 stories up in the press box, and he took this huge exhale. He was behind home plate because he had just backed up, and he's gotten the ball back from the umpire, catcher, whoever threw it to him. And he's about to go back out to the mound with the bases loaded, nobody out in the first inning, having already thrown, I don't know, 15, 18 pitches or whatever. And he just gave me one of these.
Right.
And I'm thinking, you got this, man. Old you didn't have this.
Right.
You got the stuff. Believe in yourself. Make a couple of pitches. And he was able to get out of it. Not a lot of offense, but it was enough because of the way they pitched. Great call last night. Nationals Radio Network, Charlie and Dave throughout the evening. Felt like a playoff game. You know, the way the two teams were playing really clean, quality baseball. And one of my favorite moments came with the insurance run tacked on in the 8th by Nassim Nunez. The theme last night was guys that don't often get to play made a big impact. Ahmed Rosario, first start in forever, home run to give the Nats a 1-0 lead in the 7th.
How cool is that?
And then Nunez, who made a great defensive play at second, stole a base, 8th inning, 10-pitch at bat, Alex calls aboard, up 1-0, Kyle Finnegan's getting ready to be summoned for the save, you need to extend the lead to 2, and the little guy delivered.
3 balls, 2 strikes, the set for Boyd. Pitch number 10 to Nunez. Swinging a ground ball, fair! Past the diving third baseman, down the line, it's going to the corner. Call's tearing around third, he's headed home. The throw to the plate by Swanson, it's too late and it's cut off.
Good baseball, man. I just left the park and I was like, we've been robbed of this for years.
Yep.
And just excited to come to the park for what is a pretty big series, and then a game delivers.
Just a high-level baseball game. I think you said it very well, right? Now, I'm not telling you the Nationals are a playoff team. They're not. The Cubs, sure as bleep, might be. But that was the caliber of game you saw if you went to the park last night, or you're watching on television, listening on the radio, etc. And it's a reminder. We talked about these years ago as this group was on its way, right, to that big window of when they won 98 games in 2012 to kind of kick it off. You would see the glimpses in the 80 and 81 season the year before. You'd see the moments where you go, if you squint, you can kind of imagine that it's not crazy anymore. I mean, the first big domino to fall was the Strasburg night all the way back in his debut, where you go, the crowd's electric for the first time in the new ballpark. People are going crazy. The 14 strikeouts. What an environment. What a night. Okay, you beat the Pirates that day. Lottie friggin' da. But that was different, right? You just sort of felt that. That game counted as one win, but we all know that it was different. I'm not ascribing any more meaning to last night other than they beat a good ball club and, you know, they got the rubber match today. But just that feeling, right, where you go, hey, that's really good for these kids. That's good for C.J. Abrams, for James Wood, for some of these role players, some of these guys that are playing against a really good team in a series that feels a little bit bigger than normal. You played a bunch of big series, you get yourself comfortable in playing in bigger and bigger and bigger series. That was cool.
It was. I think of it this way. This would be the way I describe it. If you go to the theater, you go see a play, mm-hmm. or something like that, you could see a really good play at Annandale High School. Or what's the one that always does the plays? I always see the signs for it driving around. Hayfield High School. You know, they do apparently these big productions, and it's awesome. But there's a difference between a play at a high school and then the Shirlington Theater, where we've got a listener who performs, which I'm sure is like high quality, legit, and good. And then going and seeing a play on Broadway. We've gone and seen a lot of the theater plays that are local. This was a Broadway play last night. Like, mm-hmm. that's really good baseball. That's what you miss. That reminds me of the Scherzer days around these parts. Yeah. Concerts. You could go to a garage jam session and watch your buddies, or you could go to Jam in Java and see a small act that goes around the DMV, or you could go to see Metallica at Northwest Stadium with the bells and the whistles and the explosions. And last night was just the big boy thing. Two aces, guys pitching like it anyway, shoving against one another, perfect game into the sixth inning for the visitors, and they still lose. And the Nats made all the plays defensively, calls, dive, and catch. The catch PCA made going out to left center. I don't know what noise that is, but that's what he deserves.
Was it an exotic bird?
It's like that. You have to watch it and be like, what the hell did I just see?
What is this?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
God, it was good baseball. Mm-hmm. I know I'm nerdy, but I was just steamed up watching that last night.
Well, you love pitcher's duels so much.
Oh, my God.
Like, if you could design a game, it would be 1-0.
So that's actually a fun exercise.
Yeah.
What is your perfect baseball game? I think my perfect baseball game is 2-1 with one team having 5 hits and the other team having 3 hits, both starters going 7, and then it's decided in the 8th and 9th by guys throwing 99 with wipeout sliders. That's pretty much what I'm looking for.
Ooh.
Now, if you can find me a reliever who throws 102, I'll take that more.
You want that?
But that's my baseball game. Last night was about as close as it gets.
I like sports. Oh, I just stopped there. I was like, I like sports. Back to you. I like the sport where I get to see everything in the sport. So here's what I mean. I want a homer. I want a steal. I want some good defense. I want some good pitching. So that can't be a 2-1 game in all likelihood for me.
Certainly it could.
But it's harder to do that.
You could have 3 solo home runs. You get spectacular defensive plays. We're getting stolen bases. We're swinging and missing people out of jams.
Could be. I think the more typical perfect game for me is probably like a 5-4 situation where you still have the ace doing it, but somebody does a little bit of little ball. Like, we get a perfectly executed hit and run somewhere in there. Right? I go first to third, or I'm doing some great base running. Or, I get a little of everything. Like in basketball, I want some good offense, good defense, same with football.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.